Giant Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Giant Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Giant Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 17, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you hear the sound of that shofar? You need to heed the warning and get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply, prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube Live. It's on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. Now, that's just for right now while we are going out. You know what I'm saying? But later on, we put it on a podcast, which is also on the internet. So you should support airtime. You know, you can even listen by telephone. If you go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, there's a way to find out how to do that. Anyway, on another note, I want to thank our listener base that's worldwide in places like, well, I changed it this week, Copenhagen, Denmark, Tunis, Tunisia, Brisbane, Australia, Amsterdam, you know, that's the Netherlands, Liverpool, United Kingdom, and of course, cities in the good old United States such as Jacksonville, Florida, Santa Ana, California, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Kansas City, Missouri, and New York, New York, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our programs when they what? Go to podcast later tonight. Please follow us and share us on Twitter, which is Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Did any of you see the pictures of that blonde girl packing a gun on a campus? It was like a fully equipped AR-15 coming off her back. It had a huge clip in it and a scope and all kinds of things on it. And it really looked funny because it was hanging on the back of this blonde girl and she was holding her hat that said, come and take it. And she was celebrating the fact that she could, as a visitor to that campus, could walk around, could, you know, bring a gun on campus, but the students couldn't. Anyway, it was really interesting, but that brings us, we're going to talk about guns today, actually the Second Amendment, and so anyway, it's also, well, let's just bring on Frank. We're bringing on Frank with us. He's Frank Stefan. He has his own radio program called The Frank Report, and a lot of you know that he is also the producer on our program, which back there, you know, brings the people in, brings the people out, plays the music and does all that, and he founded the radio station, American Voice Radio. So, welcome, Frank.
Hey, Dan.
How are you today?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Well, that's good. I had to hear you a second time. The first time I thought that wasn't enough to tell if he was in a good mood or not. Anyway, just joking. Anyway, did you see that picture I was talking about?
I did not.
Oh, it's really funny. I'll send it to you later. But it's a blonde girl in a white, dress, and she's got her graduation hat on, holding it in her hand, and it's gun strapped over her back, and she's on the campus of, I can tell you, what campus was it that those protesters back in the 60s got shot? Kent State. That's the campus. But she was celebrating the fact that she could carry a gun on campus now that she was no longer a student. But who gets to say all this? You sent me a really interesting article last week about the Second Amendment. How would you like to go into that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you read it. It's about the Second Amendment. It's more like a brief, okay? Like if you were to go get a briefing, this is what it would be like. This is just... it's not a flowery, I try to keep my comments and what I wrote just to a minimum, just enough to bring you from one point to the next. And that was pretty much it because, I can say whatever I want about the Second Amendment. I can believe whatever I want about the Second Amendment, just like the snowflakes out there. They believe what they believe and they're entitled to believe it, but it doesn't make it true.
Right.
What makes it true is facts, and that's what's in this briefing that I put together, is the facts of the Second Amendment. And, there's always people that could say, well, you should have put this and you should have put that, and I could have put a lot of things, but it already goes on for 12 pages, so, you got to stop somewhere, right?
Is that how many it is? I just read it. I didn't realize it was 12 pages, but what... really specifically stands out in the mannerism which you did it is yes, you did not use, well, this is what I think and blah, blah, blah. You pointed out where these, the mindset of the people that wrote the law, you understand, or wrote the Constitution, folks, and that's what we're talking about because it matters what they thought a lot more than what you think.
Actually, it doesn't matter at all what you think, okay? And it matters 100% what they thought, okay? And I want people to get that clear in their heads. It doesn't matter at all what you think. It doesn't matter at all what the Supreme Court thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It only matters what the author thought. Okay, and that doesn't just count for law, it counts for everything. Dan, when you write, like, let's just say, oh man, Dan has to get up early and he has to leave, right? But he wants his wife to do something later. So he writes her a note. And, he goes, the note's there, and, the wife looks at it and decides that, she's going to interpret it to mean something completely different than what Dan meant. Who's right? Well, Dan's right because Dan wrote the note, and whatever the note says is what Dan wants it to say, not whoever's reading it. Because if we're going to go that way, there's no point in writing anything. There's no point in doing anything because it's just mass confusion. If you can write down what you want and then I can just interpret it any way I want, then it doesn't make any sense, and we cannot communicate that way.
Yeah, amen. While we're talking now, folks, we're talking about started off talking about this brief that Frank wrote, which we are going to get into. But Frank, you hit a really important point. That is why we need to read the Bible from the point of view of A, the Father, and the people that wrote the book. Instead of modern interpretations that agree or disagree.
Well, yeah, it means what the author meant it to mean, or it means nothing.
Right, right. And that's why the Bible says it's not open to private interpretation. And that should be the way that we look at our Constitution,
It's the way we have to look at everything that is written. Because,
absolutely.
Once it's written, it is written, and it means from now until the sun explodes, whatever the author meant it to mean.
Right.
You know, and you
right.
have to take it that way. I mean, you know, because what's the point? If you just get to make it up, then why did I bother saying anything in the first place at all?
Right, absolutely. And that's that's where the progressives come in, when they try to say that the Constitution is a living, breathing, changing, evolving document, and it's not. Back to you.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like saying climate change doesn't exist. Well, you can't say that because climate change does exist. And you know, it is a living document. And the way it lives is documented within it. If you don't like something in the Constitution, or you think something needs changed or added or taken out, there is a process to do that. And, you know, that makes it a living document. But, you know, we're living also. But we can't just decide, well, I'm going to be living and, well, I've decided to give up the whole breathing thing. But I'm going to still be living. No, you're not, okay? There's a way we live, okay? We have to breathe. We have to eat. We have to drink water. These are the necessities for us to keep living. The Constitution has its necessities, its way of life, okay? And its way of life, if you want to change it, you do it through the amendment process.
Right.
You know, and right. you know, and in extreme cases, and it was only meant to be when they can't do it the regular way, meaning there was a war or something like that, you can have conventions of the states. That's
right.
the way it's a living document. There is an opportunity to amend it, so you can change it. It can change and has changed with the times. But you can't just... you know, decide that, well, I think now, because, modern, you know, modern dictionaries have added a word in there now and changed its meaning. For instance, in the 20s, if you said, man, you know, that is one gay guy over there, they would say, well, you know, they would understand it to mean he's a happy man, you know, because that's what it meant in the 20s. But now if you say, man, that guy is one gay guy over there, it doesn't mean he's a happy man anymore. Okay?
No.
So things change. But you know what? If it was written in the 20s, you have to read it with that perspective. You can't read it with your perspective.
Right. Right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I keep, my brain keeps flashing back because, you know, that's the way that I read the Bible, you know, without modern interpretation, going back to see what was going on and, you know, from that point of view. Of course, I believe that God wrote it, so to speak, you know, but, you know, we have to read it with the what did they mean? It's just like, here's a great example. You know, we end up with that word camel and it meant rope. You know what I'm saying? And
yep.
That's a huge difference.
But, you know, it being the Word of God, though, you can get things like that wrong, but the meaning remains the same, so the Word is still preserved.
Right.
You know, and that's what makes the Bible different than other documents.
Sure, sure. Well, going back to the Constitution, you know, the reason that we have a country is because the Constitution set us places. You know, we have laws. Which, by the way, you bring up the word law. I mean, does that even mean anything nowadays? Because it was just like I seen a governor, they in one of the states, they passed a law about abortion, where if you could hear the heartbeat, you couldn't abort. Well, and then the attorney general or whatever says, well, I'm not going to enforce that. Well, but that seems to be a concept that's going on. Well, I'm just going to enforce the law that I want to enforce. Can we? Isn't that against the Constitution?
Well, it's against, it's not only that. I mean, it's against the his oath of office, okay? That man or woman who said that should be removed immediately from office and probably imprisoned. Because, you know, the thing is, it's like, look, you took an oath. You're not the decider of laws. The legislature is. When a law comes down, you went for the job to enforce the law. You don't get to decide which ones anymore. Then you or I get to decide which laws we're going to obey and which ones we're not. We are expected to obey them all, not just the ones we like.
and we don't get to interpret it. Can I print out the, but Frank, can I print out the law and read it and say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound that way. So, can I change it? Like, what we're talking about?
Well, hey.
By my interpretation?
Yeah, you can go to court. You can make your arguments. You can try to sell that to a judge. No, you can. I mean, that's what court's about. Because people get in there and they think, hey, I think I'm right. No, you think you're right. Well, there's a problem here. You both can't be right. Somebody made a mistake. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. And this is important to stick to the, stick to the what it meant. And, like with the Bible, if you're confused, because I hear a lot of people, oh, man, I read the, I don't know, I'm confused, I'm just, And
right.
A lot of people go, well, I'm going to go get the Strong's Concordance, which I don't really have anything against the Strong's Concordance. I just don't put a lot of faith in it because it is not a holy book, okay? It's just a dictionary, and it was written by a man, and he could be wrong. It's a nice guide. It can be helpful, but, I don't rely on it, all right? I use it as a tool, but I don't rely on it because I know what it is. But, once you do that and you figure out, okay, this is probably pretty close to what the words mean and you still don't get it, well, then look for some context. You got to look
right.
at who they were talking to, where they were, what was going on, what was happening before and after they said what they said that you don't quite get. And that goes for everything, really. Goes for the Second Amendment. You have to go and see, well, what the heck do they mean? Because you hear all this talk out there about how, oh, well, you don't need that AR-15 for sporting. Who needs a 45 caliber pistol to go hunting? Blah, 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 blah. And then you even have dim-witted, treasonous judges because they really should know better. And if they don't, then they're unqualified to be a judge. That the Second Amendment does not protect weapons of war. Well, I got news for everybody out there. The Second Amendment only protects weapons of war. Okay?
Yeah.
That's it.
You should go into that part of it. Okay, so let's go into what does it say. It says, the right to keep and bear arms for well-regulated militant. That was really interesting about what you put. His explanation about that. That's where a lot of debate's at.
Well, yeah, because, look, for one, you go to the Bill of Rights and you go to the preamble and you try to find out, well, what's this whole Bill of Rights about anyway? Why did they tack this on? Well, they tacked it on because people were concerned that they needed to reiterate that, hey, you need to stay out of these rights, okay? It is not granting anybody's rights. It is restricting the government.
Right.
And I'm not saying that. That's what they said when they did the preamble, okay? When they did the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and look that up, folks. It's easy to find. You just put in preamble to the Bill of Rights, and it'll come right up. The sites with, they got the whole Bill of Rights, and at the beginning they include the preamble. A lot of places don't include the preamble. And I'm looking for it here, and I'm not sure right where I've got it in this paper here, and I'd like to quote it correctly, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to.
Look for it a minute. I'm going to read to them what the Second Amendment actually says. Looking at your paper. The Second Amendment of the United States Constitution states a well-regulated milita being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, is the law of the land? It says it is the law of the land. Point being is I don't see anything about hunting in that statement of fact.
No, it's
not at all.
No, militias are not hunting clubs. All right?
Probably tell that to a progressive. But, absolutely. And to me, with somebody like me, even the first time I read it, I knew why I knew what it meant? And I read this many, 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 many years ago. I'm going to be 63 this year. I read it when I was in school, grade school. It was taught to us. We talked about it. But we knew it was there. Why? Because we had just thrown off a government that had, we had a Revolutionary War. We needed, and so we put the things in it so that we could keep free. And so, yeah, I never thought of hunting. That's a modern thing. Back to you.
Well, yeah, and, okay, well, let's see here. Where was I? I got on there. Got to go get this. Okay, there we go. So, we read that, and it's pretty clear just in the Second Amendment, but a lot of people want it to say what they want it to mean, so they lie and they make things up. But we go back to the preamble to the United States Bill of Rights.
Probably ought to say that because we're real
well. This
close
is really this
debate.
Is short. Okay, it's
go
really
ahead.
Short. The conventions of a number of the states having at the time of the adopting of the Constitution expressed a desire. Listen here, in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. Okay. And
right.
That's what all of the Bill of Rights is, okay? It is restrictive of the government. Why? The misconstruction or abuse of its powers. Now, its is the Constitution. And the only one who has powers under the Constitution are elected officials who are under oath.
Right. And their powers are it's a lot more extremely limited than what we see now. And we'll talk about that when we come back. But tell them where to find your program. We'll go to break, Frank.
Now, right here, American Voice Radio Network.
Yep, folks, AmericanVoiceRadioNetwork.com or what is it, ABRNTV.TV.
That's one of them.
Yeah,
that's an easy one.
Well, that's an easy one. Well, if you just do American Voice Radio, it pops up, boom.
Well, and
right
if you just
there.
Put a .com after that, you'll go right to the site. So it's AmericanVoiceRadio.com.
Yeah, that's true. Well, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we are in a really interesting conversation with Frank Stefan over the Second Amendment. But before we get to that, I got to give you a real brief about the missing church. Last week, I brought up to you that, we have this 91 Ford bus. And this bus, we've been using it for like 11 years. To drive people back and forth from our churches in one part of town where there's homeless and poor, but there's other places that we have to go pick them up and bring there, even people in wheelchairs. This is really a critical part of our ministry. It has been out of commission for about 3 weeks. We did some work on it. I did a Facebook raise money page, and I never... Facebook is just zero for me with money. No, we hardly ever get any donations from anybody on Facebook. But point being is we ran a small thing, and I really haven't got much of a response. I hope this doesn't mean we're already into a summer slump, but doesn't matter. Point is we need the bus back desperately. I don't have it right now. It still needs a master cylinder. It also needs tires for it and a few other things. So pray about it, folks. We really do need. Now, when I started off, I needed about $2,100. Now, I'm probably, you know, $500. Well, the tires, $150 a piece. I need about $800 or $900 to get tires on it and to get a master cylinder and get it back to the church. And it'd be nice to have $1,000 so I have a little leeway to do everything I need. We put some windows in it and some other things, but we really do need to get it back. This bus, even with barely any heat and has no air, we got windows, but it's a great blessing to so many people. So pray about it, folks. We really do need your help. And also, we also need your donations for the Wichita Mission Church in general. Food, all those things. If you live in Wichita, you have canned goods, bring them in. If you run across an egg sale, bring them in. We have a walk-in cooler. We can put 200 dozen eggs in, I would have guessed. Anyway, we have a big walk-in cooler. So pray about it. If you live in Wichita, you can bring food stuff in. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and donations is what keeps us on the air, because I don't sell anything. And we need to pay radio airtime. Now, you can donate online, and if you donate online, I get it instantly, or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Again, if you don't wish to help with support, consider a donation for airtime. Pray about it. And now we're back with Frank Stephan, and we're talking about the Second Amendment, among other things. Are you still with me, Frank?
I am.
Of course. Okay, you just talked about the preamble. By the way, did you see that picture I sent to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very eye-opening, and of course it caused a huge stir.
Not sure.
But, you know, should it?
No.
Should it cause a stir, though? That's more of a question.
No, but, you know, in our country the way it is today, yeah, it should. And the stir should be, this is a great thing. People should stand up and clap when they see stuff like that. But, you know, the thing about the preamble is it lays out what the whole Bill of Rights was about. And the whole Bill of Rights is about restrictive clauses on the government so they don't misconstrue or abuse their powers. And that's it. It ain't got nothing. None of them have anything to do with your personal protection or your hunting or your entertainment or any of that or fighting off burglars. And the reason why was because it was common that, of course, you're going to fight off burglars. Of course, you're going to defend yourself. Of course, you're going to defend your home. Of course, you're going to do that. What we're talking about here is, hey, if your government gets out of hand, you got to take them down. And in order to take them down, you got to have guns, and you got to have guns just like they do, okay? And this is not me and my opinion. This is the opinion of the men who wrote the Bill of Rights and supported the Second Amendment and the Constitution.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, just by having the mere presence of guns, do you agree or disagree? If you just have the guns, that stops a lot from happening without even having to use them. You know what I'm saying?
Until the perpetrators figure out that you're an empty suit and you're just full of you-know-what and you're a coward and you have a gun, but you'll never use it. Once they figure that out, then your gun is worthless. And I'm afraid that you know, half the gun owners in America fall into that category. When I hear people talking about, oh, well, we need to dig holes and hide our guns, and really? Why? Well, because when they come and confiscate all the guns, you know, we'll still have some. Have some for what? For them to confiscate next time? They're guns, for crying out loud. If somebody wants to take it from you, you shoot them with it. They're not there to hide and dig in holes and things. They're there to shoot. And if you're going to go bury them because they're going to come and confiscate them, then what is the point?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely. If you're going to, they're going to hide them and stash them. Well, why are you hiding them and stashing them? You know, that's the point.
For when?
Yeah.
For when you're not a coward? Because that's probably not going to ever happen. You know, because,
so,
I mean, really, what's the deal? Well, people out there probably have heard of Justice Joseph Story. Okay, he was one of the early, I think 1812, he was, you know, joined the Supreme Court. And to this day, he is the youngest Supreme Court justice ever in this country. Mm-hmm. And he made a lot of law. Him and Marshall, you know, they were kind of allies at the Supreme Court, and they really pushed, they pushed federal power, but they also pushed constitutional federal power, meaning they wanted to exercise all the powers that the Constitution gave the federal government, which they it did, but they didn't want to go beyond that, at least not so much. But Marshall, you know, Marshall kind of, you know, like everybody, nobody's 100%, right? But these guys were pretty good. And Joseph Story says, and this is a quote, "The militia is the natural defense of a free country against sudden foreign invasions, domestic insurrections, and domestic usurpations of powers by rulers. It is against sound policy for a free people to keep up large military establishments and standing armies in a time of peace, both from the enormous expenses with which they are attended, and the facile means which they afford to ambitious and unprincipled rulers to subvert the government or trample upon the rights of the people. The right of the citizens to keep and bear arms has justly been considered as the palladium of the liberties of a republic, since it offers a strong moral check against the usurpation and arbitrary power of rulers, and will generally, even if these are successful, the first instance, enable the people to resist and triumph over them." Okay? So, you know, even if, oh gosh, look at the army coming, we don't have a chance. Well, maybe you don't have a chance today. But as long as everybody still has guns, we always have a chance tomorrow, maybe. And he goes on to say, "One of the ordinary modes by which tyrants accomplish their purposes without resistance is by disarming the people and making it an offense to keep arms." Boy, does that sound familiar?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a question for you. If so, the federal government, in a, you know, what we're talking about, the Second Amendment to the Constitution. So, does that, where does that leave states? Can the states regulate guns? If the federal government says one thing, can the states do something different?
Well, they can in one direction and not the other direction, because really what the U.S. Constitution is, and this is the Supremacy Clause, okay? And the Supremacy Clause basically sets the Constitution as the supreme law of the land over the whole land, which mm-hmm. basically means that, okay, so we have the federal government. Say there's a Second Amendment. Okay, so there's the Second Amendment, says what it says. And then you're going to start a state over there, Dan, and you decide, well, what are we going to put as our Second Amendment? Well, let's put that nobody can have any guns. Well, guess what? You will not be admitted to the Union because you can't do that. What it is, the U.S. Constitution, I try to make it, you know, use things that people are familiar with. Everybody's familiar with building codes, okay?
Right.
You want to build a building, they say, oh, well, it's got to be this, it's got to be that, you got to use this, you got to use that, right? Well,
right.
What people don't generally know about building codes is they are the bare minimum, okay? If somebody goes, well, hey, it's built to code. Don't get all excited and happy. That what they're telling you is this has been built to the minimum standards. Okay?
Right.
That's what it is. And that's what the U.S. Constitution is. For instance, a state can give their citizens more rights than the U.S. Constitution provides. Okay?
Right.
You know, a state could say, well, we're, you know, if they put it in their constitution, we're gonna, in this state, we're going to make it an obligation that everybody own a machine gun. All right? And
right.
they could do that. Okay? Because that's giving them more. But you can't
right.
say, oh, well, in our Constitution, we're going to make it so you can't have any guns. I'm sorry. Nope. Ding, ding, ding. You did not reach the minimum standards. That's what the U.S. Constitution is concerning the states. It is the minimum standard. You cannot provide less rights. You cannot protect less rights than the U.S. Constitution protects. But you can protect more rights in your state if you choose to. That's how the U.S. Constitution and the Supremacy Clause is properly administered.
Right. So if, and I doubt Kansas would be the one, but let's say Colorado says, okay, turn in your guns, can they do it?
No. No, because you have a right to bear, keep and bear arms, and it cannot be infringed. Now, okay, a lot of people are like, well, okay, where did this come from? Well, where it came from was the British Bill of Rights, okay? And now what they had in their Bill of Rights, and people need to understand this, and again, this is one of those things where you got to go back in time, and you got to go, what the heck does this mean? And you got to get the context. Now, the context of this, you have to remember, in England, okay, the Catholics were basically deemed criminals because, you know, the King of England and Rome were having a dispute. Okay, they were not okay. The king started the Church of England, kicked out the Catholics. They were not welcome in England, okay? And so this is the Bill of Rights in England. It said Protestants may have arms for their defense suitable to their conditions and allowed by law. This from the Declaration of Rights, commonly known as the English Bill of Rights. There was no mention of the militia. However, it did guarantee the right of the English people to have arms for their defense. Now, explicit with the right to have for your defense is the right to use for your defense. Therefore, to carry with you if you felt you may be threatened. Now,
right.
since the right to own and carry firearms was already commonly understood by the British governors, they had elected to deprive them, you know, the people of the means to equip their militia. The founders saw this as the most likely abuse of power regarding arms. Since the right to own and carry arms had been undisputed for 100 years up to that time, another difference to the clause, now this is the important one. This is where the founders saw a problem and said, okay, we're going to fix this problem with the Bill of Rights from England. The difference was, as allowed by law, was in the English Bill of Rights. It was specifically addressed by taking that out and inserting, shall not be infringed. So, in the United States, the United States Congress cannot lawfully do what they've been doing since, like, 1934, okay? They are not acting lawfully, okay? They are not acting within the law. They are, well, they're violating their oaths of office. They are actually committing treason against the people. By you know, they have no authority to regulate the militias. Now, people say, but it says well-regulated. Well, that's a whole other, you know, that's, I addressed that in here, and, you know, it's not what you think it is, you know.
Right, right. Well, let's go to another thing. It's in your report that's really interesting. What about the police? I mean, people say, well, I got the police, I can call the police. They have to come and protect me.
Well, as you said... that's addressed in this brief that, no, they don't. As a matter of fact, the courts have ruled over and over that, no, they don't. They don't have any duty to protect you. You know, so if you think you're going to use your cell phone as some sort of protection and call the police, you're going to be disappointed. You know, I don't know how, that's about as nice as I can tell you, because,
right.
you know.
Well, the police are more, folks, and listen up, it is you that is supposed to protect yourself. The police are more of an after-the-fact thing, you know, and in, let alone in the critical minutes that it takes them to get there, depending on where you're at and so on and so forth, it might be, you might get lucky and they may be there in a couple of minutes, but in a couple of minutes somebody can live or die. But more than likely or not, they usually, you know, maybe 10 minutes or so, depending on if you're in a busy city or where you live at, you know. We have a country town. We have no police officer. I got no police officers in our city on duty, at least. There's a couple that live here. There's a marshal a block away that, you know, that lives here. He's a friend of my son. But the point is there's no police officer here on duty. The nearest police officer is about 12 miles away in Marion, the capital of Marion County. And so if you were to call, and that's the sheriff, because we have no local police. So if you call the sheriff, that sheriff, and there's only so many of them, he could take 30, 45 minutes to get here. Or if it's a real emergency, maybe rushes over. But you're talking about maybe 10 minutes. You know, minimum.
And we're also talking about if he feels like it.
Well, right, if he and that's the truth, too, because, see, actually, our city is actually because it is a city, we are supposed to have a police officer here, but, you know, politics just keep getting rid of them. We hire a police officer, and then the city council wants one of the mayors, I think it's about 3 mayors ago where we lost the police. They want him to do something, and, you know, the guy says, I ain't doing that. That's not my job. And, you know, and so we end up without, you know, not a police. But let's say if there was somebody here shooting off a gun or something, you know, go ahead, I double dog dare you, because, you know, we live in a country community. These people will defend themselves. They have guns in their house.
No, they have to defend themselves. And they have to defend themselves, you know. But, you know, people get this false sense of security because they see cops all over the place. They don't realize those cops have no duty to protect them, okay? No duty whatsoever. Matter of fact, Warren versus District of Columbia, this is from 1981, the duty to provide public services is owed to the public at large, and absent a special relationship between the police and an individual, no specific legal duty exists. Now, you remember the shooting, right, in Florida, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where the sheriff deputies refused to enter the buildings to protect the children, and instead used their discretion to hide outside, protecting only themselves while 17 children were killed, right? Well, they're not being charged with anything. Okay, they might get fired for political reasons or to make them look good in the news, but they don't have any duty to protect those children. So they're not going to be charged with anything because there's nothing they can be charged with. There's no duty to protect them. So by hiding outside and letting those children be killed, theoretically, under our laws, those police didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
I mean, that ought to make everybody sick. Now, there's another case, Castle Rock versus Gonzalez. This is from 2005. Now, this woman, she went and got a restraining order. So, girls, you think that little piece of paper is going to protect you? You better think again. She went and got herself a restraining order from, I guess, her boyfriend or whatever, husband, and said, man, this guy's going to, you know, he's going to do me in. And so they gave her the restraining order, and then they said, well, you got to show up in court and testify, and her husband's going to be there. And she told them, hey, you got to do something, man. You got to protect me because he's going to kill me. He's going to try to kill me if he sees me. I'm telling you, you know. And they go, oh, yeah, just come to court, you know, or we'll arrest you, right?
Right.
She gets to court, and he does attack her. So she sues, and then they say, guess what? Although the statute spoke of protected persons, and this is how they get out of it, they even twist their own laws to take responsibility away from the police, okay? Although the statute spoke of protected persons, such as the respondent. Okay, so they admit, yep, you're a protected person, right?
Right.
It did so in connection with matters other than a right to enforcement. Colorado law has not created a personal entitlement to enforcement of restraining orders. It does not appear the state law truly made such enforcement mandatory. A well-established tradition of police discretion has long coexisted with apparently mandatory arrest statutes. So, here's a woman who went and got a restraining order, warned them that if I show up in court, you better protect me because he's going to attack me. They didn't do so. He did attack her. She sued him, and she lost because the court defended the police by saying, no, no, you might have had a restraining order, but there's no duty to enforce those restraining orders. They can enforce them if they want, and they don't have to if they don't feel like it. So that's how much your restraining order is worth, girls.
Right, and let's go with this. Let's say in a perfect situation that you call the police, and it goes back to that paper's not going to stop them if they're determined to come and get you, let alone, in a perfect situation, you may live in a city where the police will respond and will protect you, but we're talking about critical minutes, maybe even seconds, that you have a choice to live or die, and 3 minutes is going to be too long. They may get there after the fact and call an ambulance for you or the morgue for you, but in them 2 or 3 minutes that while you're waiting on a police officer, if one does come in that period of time, you're dead. Back to you.
Yeah, and that's a big if. It could be 15, 20, 30 an hour.
Well, right. I was saying an overly perfect situation.
Right,
you know
right.
What I'm
yeah.
saying.
Even yeah.
the cop was driving down two blocks from you. You know?
Yep.
Because it takes longer than 2 minutes to turn around.
And the point of what I'm trying to make is, you know, you're making good points that, hey, they're just not around. Even if they wanted to help you, they couldn't. Okay? But my point is, even if they're standing right next to you, they don't have to help you. Okay? It's their discretion. The courts have given them complete discretion. They could stand right next to you and watch you get shot in the head and do nothing. And they're fine. I mean, they don't have to protect you. Now, after you're dead, oh, I witnessed a crime. I should go arrest that man. Well, yeah, but beforehand, hey, that guy's pulling a gun. I should stop him and protect this person. No, there is no obligation for that. That's
no.
The point, is that even if they're right there, they don't have to protect you. They have no duty to do so. That is your duty. To protect yourself and your family. Now, listen,
right.
A lot of people say, well, you know, they are regulating the militia by, all these rules. Well, no, they're not. For one, well-regulated doesn't mean lots of rules, because that's not what it meant when they wrote it. But that we don't have time to get into that, because the one point that I do want to make while we do have time for it is that we went through what the Bill of Rights is specifically in existence to do, okay? Prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, the powers of the Constitution, which are only wielded by government officials, okay? Now ask yourself, if the Constitution is the law of the land and the Bill of Rights and all the amendments is on equal footing as part of the original Constitution, then using law and reason, would the framers intend Would their intent to be for the federal government to be the one to decide what arms the people will be allowed to have? Seeing as how the preamble makes it clear, and all the quotes from all the people that wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights make it very clear, that those arms are there specifically to combat an out-of-control federal government. Again, I ask you, would those people give the power to that federal government to decide which guns you're allowed to kill them with?
Oh, that's the most important part of the whole talk. Why would we give the power to them to say, okay, you can have a gun, but it's got to be a BB gun, just so they can have greater ones? That's a great point. Frank, is there any way that they can get in touch with you if they... Well, I'll do this. Folks, you don't have to get a hold of Frank, but if you send me an email or call me or something, I'll send you a copy of this.
Yeah.
Frank, we got to go.
And let me get my email.
Okay, go ahead.
AmericanVoiceRadio@yahoo.com. And if you send me a request for this, I'll just attach it and send it to you. AmericanVoiceRadio@yahoo.com. Real easy.
Okay. Thanks for being on with me, and folks, tune in and get him out on American Voice Radio, The Frank Report. But folks, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and through him and only through him is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing, Gutters. Please pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and radio. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.